the sense of having to hold a certain truth. So where is the freedom to explore? But I watched you, I saw you really hesitate, slow down, wonder if you should veer a little bit off the path. Was this true? Mm-hmm. Was that because you liked what was coming? Answer me yes or no.
But I honestly wasn't. That
is not a yes, and I'm not asking you about that. You're answering some other question. You're not just answering my question. Mm-hmm. What did I ask you? I watched you, what? Slow down and veer slightly off your path.
Right.
Do you remember doing that?
Yeah.
Was that because you liked what was coming toward you or not? Yes or no? Did you like it or did you not or not? Did you like what was coming toward you? I'm saying actually like. Don't you dare quibble with me on this one. Don't you dare give me all your justifications. Just be very straightforward and honest. Did you like what was coming toward you?
I was ambivalent.
So does that mean you, are you answering the question? Did you like it? No, you're not trying to be honest. You're not, that's what I'm saying. So you weren't aware of liking?
No.
That's right. So therefore, if you weren't aware of liking, it's quite probable that liking was not there at that moment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So were you liking that circumstance? I dare you. I dare you to say no. I double dare you.
Well, I can say no, but that wasn't my experience.
I don't dare. Not at all. Good. So the river was beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Were you trying to find something you could dislike about it?
Yes.
What did you find?
I didn't.
Couldn't you find the fact that it's not going to flow like this forever? Next year might be a drought?
Mm.
Could you?
I could, but I was just staying present with what it was at that moment. And so I was tasting it and playing it, and I couldn't see anything in it to dislike or to have aversion
for
it.
Exactly.
And I was watching myself not being able to come up with anything and mm-hmm. trying to.
And do you remember me saying, don't make it logical?
Mm-hmm.
You did remember that?
Yeah.
So you couldn't imagine it actually being filled with poisonous chemicals?
So I didn't go into imagination, I was just with myself.
So I'm saying don't make it too logical? What would that mean? What would that mean to you if I said that? What would that mean to you? Right, which is sort of more imagination, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about you? What would it mean to you? Do you understand this? Do you understand this? Do you understand this now? If one is clinging to what one likes, one cannot see what one dislikes. Does that make sense? They are both present all the time. Some people dislike fireworks because it reminds them of a war experience when they were young. And they're caught by that. Does that make sense to you? Some people love fireworks because it reminds them of a war when they were young. Does that make sense to you? Isn't that curious to you? So I think it's a valuable exercise. Why do I think that? Yeah. What would happen if the mind opened about like and dislike?
Attachment.
And so what would that do?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. So it's a good thing to practice. And the idea is practice with the mind, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just taking something in the mind and turning it around. Just to practice. Just to practice, that's all. Not because you can't still like it. Is this making more sense now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
But things are harder to find what you like in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I have to work more, or do the work to work.
Yeah, unfix your mind from what you disliked it.
Yeah.
Which is what basically Matt was saying. Isn't that what you were saying, basically? That it was harder to let go of dislike, then of like, then of like? Hmm?
Some dislike.
Yeah, some.
Yeah.
That's right. And why is that? Some feel very strong. And why do they feel strong? Because the mind fixates on what one doesn't like. Shenrezig meditation says, anger that grasps at duality. Either we're going to grasp at duality or we're going to cling to what we find pleasurable. So that you practice this so that you can still have those choices, but you're not unable to think any other way. Because anger grasps at duality. I know you might not call dislike anger, but it is. It's just a little flip of anger. You get habituated to it and build it up, it becomes a big pissed offness about the little flip.
You can see it going down the road too. Like, you know, when I'm thinking like point five, it's easy to say, oh, I find the light. And other ones were harder for me, like the dog shit that I can like start running with. And I'm getting more worked up.
Collecting evidence, I call it. Collecting evidence.
What do you like about this? And I, you know, I just have a little war with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, finally I let one, you know, I just got still inside. And just, yeah, I just still inside the truth. And then I found it, but then it just arrived.
Yeah.
That little experience.
Compost. There are lots of things you can decide. You can decide, oh, I'm so glad that dog has a healthy bowel. I mean, it's like, once you start playing, it's surprising what your mind will come up with. I remembered a friend of mine when she was like, just almost three, and this was when I was married, and my husband and I lived with her mom and dad and her brother was about to occur, and we would go shopping for used goods because we were not doing a lot of money at that time, and we found this beautiful bowl. Was absolutely gorgeous. And my friend, she was one of those ages where you live on sunlight and air. You know, when you're about 2 or 3, there's those periods mm-hmm. where you don't like eating. And it's like you can't figure out what the kid's doing. So she would, we try to get her to eat one more bite, one more invention, and she didn't. We had the bowl down. We were really proud of it. We didn't have much room, so it was sitting in the table, on the floor, you know, off by the stove. And we're all just having a good time because we know she's fine. And we're talking away, and then there's this, look, look, just so pleased. Because she actually did a poo, not in her pants.
In the bowl?
Well, yeah, she did it in the bowl. And there was the one, oh no, and the other, oh my God, isn't that sweet, you know? And it's like, isn't that true?
You get lots of moments.
Isn't that true? Isn't that true? So they're both true. They're both true.
Mm-hmm.
But when you when you decide to ignore one and make the other one your truth, you're caught.
Mm-hmm.
You're caught. You're doing my way or the highway. That's what you're doing. Everybody better agree with me because I'm right. That's what you're doing. Isn't that true? Which is fine. It's a choice. We all have the right to do that. Every one of us can do that. Like, that's your choice. And the real truth is that there are lots of other people. So it's my way or your way or your way or your way or your way or the highway. So to be able to gracefully bow when that's a good idea, because you can do the Polish mudra, is wise. Isn't it? Think so.
Last one, I was going to go. You know, that it's really a rest over this stuff. Life is a dance. And because you're the center, I'm going to do what it takes in life. You have half the rules. And 6 billion people, and however many are there on the screen, consciousness have to share the other half of the rules.
That's
but you have to realize it.
It's beautiful. It's lovely. Indeed. So anyone else have anything they would like to report?
I have a confession.
Right.
I didn't find anything to like in the smell of the sauce. Mm.
Keep trying. It's just a play. It's a play. It's a dance. Play. It's just playing. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Nothing?
What is the difference between keeping it in a personal way of doing it and just not liking
it? That's a really interesting question. That's really lovely.
Yeah,
I would be delighted.
When I was taking a walk, I wanted to go to one of the others. And I found this beautiful little bridge, and as I started walking, this man comes from down the road. And he gets the motion to leave, but he comes back on the pathway. And just every time I would stop, he would stop. But I watched for a while, and I was going to go down and enjoy the water. And there's a bridge there. But I could see him coming to it, and I felt his sense, spidey senses all of a sudden go, this is not a safe arena to be in because there is no other way out. And the hill, I was down to the hill. And I just turned from what I wanted to do and went up, basically onto the street and didn't follow. And it was done. But I missed a moment to do what I wanted to do, but yet was I dislike? Was I prejudging? Or was I reacting to a sense of feeling threatened? And I personally, at first when I saw the man, I didn't, I thought, okay, it's just another person coming from, being raised by the river. But then when he started following me, I felt threatened, like the spidey sense. So I thought, maybe this isn't just dislike, this is something I'm feeling deeper. So there's a difference between,
Yeah, I mean, if you actually feel threatened, you acknowledge that that's dislike, that's all. Try to find something you like about it. That's very straightforward. You just say, I like the fact that I have the choice to not go this way. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
But then if you're saying that, then you don't worry about whether it's the right thing or not.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to...
Do you understand? Yeah, I know. You're just saying that it doesn't really matter whether it's the right thing or not. Because you have had a certain experience and this came up. And so it may be true, it may not be true, but you're not somebody who is willing to threaten things to the point where you don't have the ability to be with your children or, right? So it's very straightforward. Is that true?
Absolutely.
If you start getting away from him and he just carries on going whichever direction he's going, not the direction that you're going, and then because of going that way, somebody comes up in a motorcycle and runs over you because they don't expect you to come that way, then you also don't want to lose your relationship with your children. But you haven't caused yourself to go into hope, fear, hope, fear, hope, fear, and then just jumping. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So there isn't going to be the same sense of wrong about going that there could be over the first case. And what is important is not whether you make the right choice, but only that you make a clear choice. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Because it's the clarity of knowing you've made your choice that is important. Not whether it's right to get what you want or right to not get what you want. It's like, but yeah, I can see both, and I think this is the way to go. It's fine. Nice, huh? So, given that that is so, then immediately you should be able to understand that really you can't tell when the truck is going to hit you. Right? Or the water that doesn't look poisonous is actually so polluted that the air you're breathing while you're sitting down beside it and wiggling your toes in it is actually causing you to have an allergic reaction, and at midnight you're going to wake up being unable to breathe. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not clinging to the wholesome, the pleasant, the lovely, only to find out that it wasn't lovely and then go into that state of fear and sense of unhappiness that I was talking about earlier when I was talking about God realms, which can cause a great amount of pain. It's like trying to be safe and holding on to what you do want to be true, as if that were you, stops you from being able to understand how very fragile life is, and that every moment is a gift. And that's really the only thing that, you can't be safe, but you can be grateful for seeing clearly that you don't know whether this is this dislike or this fear of something it should overwhelm or underwhelm that or that. You don't know. Only if you have had such a profound experience of beyond subject-object duality that you don't have any sense of whether you are safe, and you're more aware of how all beings are doing, and that the other person isn't just 50% of you, but are not separate from you. Can you actually make that choice? And none of us are there. So whatever right answer you give to that is still going to be right, as long as you're clearly being as clear as you are about, rather than doing what you think you should do, but, you know, in terms of, because this would be, but what is it I really do feel comfortable? I don't feel comfortable going where this guy's going. Okay, I'm going the other way. Mm-hmm. Period. Is that helpful? Thank you. Anybody else? Were you going to say something?
Well, just that I think what you observed was the same situation.
What?
Was me approaching something and having questions about whether it was risky or not.
Which and is having, called dislike.
And having, yeah, and having.
Which is called dislike.
Okay.
Pardon me?
I said okay.
Oh, good. I was just checking.
What I guess what I called dislike before this moment had a different feeling quality to it than what I'm aware of when I'm assessing a situation to see if there's risk and whether I need to take it up, whether I can keep going where I was planning to go, or whether what I'm reading there holds some potential that's risky and therefore I need to make another decision.
But that's okay, not the same. That's not the same. Dislike is where you wish something wasn't happened, just the first little second. Like you're driving along and the light turns to red.
Yeah.
But you wanted to get somewhere fast.
Mm-hmm.
So there is for a moment dislike. Right? It's not such a big thing. Is that helpful?
You were saying that from what I understood, that you were saying that you observed me in a moment of dislike.
Yeah.
And I was saying that, as I understand dislike, that wasn't quite my experience of it.
Right. That's right. And now you've changed your... Are we going to keep doing postmortems on this? And then didn't you just say if you've changed your idea about what was meant by dislike? Isn't that what she just said?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I heard her say? Was that true?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't that what you just said?
Yeah, and then you said something else that I thought split the difference again, so I got confused again. But I'm happy to drop it.
I'm happy to drop it if you want to move on to something else too. What does that mean? Okay. Excellent. Thank you. The other thing I really would like to emphasize on this is that you don't try to like or dislike something that actually brings you up into fear. You want to like or dislike something that is something that you sort of unconsciously just like or dislike, and you don't really particularly look at it. Is that clear? Because if you're trying to like or dislike something that has got you into a state of very dramatic like or dislike, you're not going to be able to play with it. Is that true? Because what you're doing with this is playing with your own mind. not with something that you have to pay attention to in the outer. So this is the kind of, this is the type of suggestion that the Buddha gave to people who were already in some kind of monastic circumstance, on retreat or something. Is that useful? It's to be done when you are already in a state where you don't have to worry too much about self or other, because you actually feel free enough to actually just explore playing with like or dislike. It's quite a nice exercise. I mean, it's just so useful. And you can use it when you find yourself at a stop sign and disliking it. You can say, okay, what can I like about that? Oh, good, I can make a phone call when my, oh no, I can't. Mm-hmm. But you can actually watch it like and dislike. I can open my window and smell what the earth is, what the air is like right now. So many possibilities. So, anybody else have anything to say?
Most of the awareness came from the energy in the body, which is really interesting. Just looking at something and liking it.
That's
and
great.
And feeling the, ooh, and then looking at it, trying to find something and there is nothing about it, and I can just feel this.
Narrowing right
whoa,
down.
Just narrow right down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel that, aware of
thank
that.
You. That's what one thing learned. That is the most important thing to see. How when you are focusing on dislike, your focus gets very tight and low, and it's hard to see outside of yourself. And when you focus on what you like, there's this just opening up and wanting to share it, or, hey, just see that. And to actually see that it is actually physical. Mm-hmm. That's what there is to see. That's the point. That's what like or dislike do. They change your physical sense of both the subject and the object. Thank you. Oh, I'm so delighted. So, I don't really have a lot more I was going to talk about. We've covered a lot of territory, haven't we? Is there anything you would like to talk about more? Any questions, answers, comments, or complaints about anything that you might want to hear my view of, to see what you think of it? So just a minute, it's been a little while. Uchidicca is skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
And Udaccha Kukuccha is restlessness and nitpicking.
Yeah, when you back and forth and all stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Does that relate directly to what you were saying about when you said that the mind snaps from life?
I mean, certainly that would be very involved in that. And then actually believing that would be the other involvement in that. But yeah, it relates to that. In fact, you could say that all of our sense of reality is built on like and dislike. If you dislike something, you want to cancel it or you want to have a war with it. So you proceed on that, in that way. If you like something, you want to cling to it. You don't want to let go of it. You don't want anything to. So you make it into a beauty, an ideal, and you become the one who is protecting that or refusing to see anything else about it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when there is this restlessness when what you think of as beautiful isn't happening, and then there is this nitpicking kind of quality that comes with that restlessness, right? And like, oh, it's not the way I want to be. And then goes from that right into that quality of, well, it probably doesn't work anyway. Probably never worked, never will work. It was a trick. Something wrong with me, something wrong with them. Yeah. I'm not playing anymore. And you're like, tight and going home. Like that. And all from just that little moment of like very cellular kind of thing that amoebas have and everything. Where when you like something, you open up, when you dislike something. So by little ways of finding out what's interesting about pain or anger or dislike, that then you start actually knowing how to use it. I have a friend of mine, a teacher of mine, when I was doing meditation and I kept getting into this state of real blissfulness and then just slightly sleepy and just sort of sit there in that half asleep, half awake state and just kind of hanging in there in this really cool place. And this teacher told me that I should imagine that somebody is sneaking up behind me with a big stick, with a big knife, and was about to kill me. So I tried that, but I didn't believe it, so I did some other ones that I could believe. And it was really interesting how when you get too attached, you can bring like dislike into it. And it brings energy into it, so you're able to examine. You can have that insight mind that comes from clinging to what you don't like. You have that inner state where you're happy. That is to say, it's the combination of calm abiding and insight together. It's the balance of time and space together in the most rudimentary way. Learning how to rest in that state right between, in the most pragmatic, basic, every moment, how to be present.
Rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly right. So you can see why the Buddha gave that advice. I mean, it's brilliant.
That beautiful poem, hide yourself in the middle of the flames, ride your horse along the edge of the blade. Let me get away.
Is that? That was in a book. I was trying to remember the name. I don't know.
Oh, Mary Fraser, Mary and Whitman.
Oh, we're Mary and Whitman, yeah.
Yeah, and there's this beautiful talk about holding the tension of the opposites, that's what the sacred cross is about.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can hold the extremes while you stay
in the center.
In the middle.
That's right.
And then she ended the talk with, and it was ride your horse along the edge of the blade, hide yourself in the center of the flame.
Wow.
Beautiful. Yeah. The tension of the opposite.
And that's exactly it. Like practice being at the center point. So that's quite a nice exercise.
I think we're all
was errors trying to neutralize in order to have peace with the extremes of the like and the dislike, and not wanting to get caught in either one, I end up trying to neutralize their impact, their effect, and that brings on, I'm trying for detachment, but I'm actually doing it by trying to numb it.
Yeah.
And I find it really scary to just open to the full power of either one of them, because I get caught, I get overwhelmed.
Right.
And I don't know how to...
Oh, that's not true. You don't fool me for a moment there.
Okay.
Was she dumb? Was she holding? She's fault. Which are what? Sharpness and
desire.
Sharpness and dissatisfaction. Right?
Sharpness and dissatisfaction.
And satisfaction. Right? Isn't she? She's like totally drinking the pleasure of the moment. And totally cutting off, getting caught by it.
Mm-hmm.
This like cuts off, like attaches, right?
Yeah.
So that's not true, you don't do that. You know both of them really, really well. If you use one against the other, that's just because you should turn it around. That's all. It doesn't mean you don't know both. Just because you keep trying to go through the brick wall doesn't mean that you don't know it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's just that you know now you're doing it wrapped in pillows, but it's still the brick wall, and it still isn't
yeah.
working no matter how many ways you protect yourself, because you're clinging to, well, I know I can get through that, you know, so I'll just ignore more of the pain and just keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. That's not just saying, okay, that didn't work, what am I ignoring? You try a lot of ways. Well, maybe if I wore a hat, it would be different. But when you get tired of the pain, then you say, maybe I'm going about this the wrong way altogether.
Yeah.
But we have been friends for a long time, so my experience is that not that you don't know, but that you know basically fully well how both of them work, and you're not at all afraid of using either one of them. It's just that you tend to use one and think, well, this will save me, and then you choose the other and think, this will be saving me. But to actually work with them both, because you know how to use quite well.
Yeah.
So like I'm saying, I don't think that's true. Not in my experience. I hope you pardon me for my blatant disagreement with you here.
I'm delighted.
Okay. Any other questions, answers, comments? Like, you know, Manjushri, his power is discriminating wisdom. Or anyone, Milarepa, his power is understanding that trying to make the outer world become fair, become justice. Good idea, you know, and there can be quite a passion to try to do that for a certain period of time, and, you know, be quite amazingly inventive and powerful to try to change the rules of existence, because you see how justice should be done. You know, there could be that sense, you understand? But by the time your teacher has asked you to rebuild, well, you tear that down and build it one more time. There's a certain point where, however, you're going, oh, nuts. But then comes a time where, and so then he gets the understanding, but then his teacher says, oh, it's too bad you didn't suffer more, because you would have been a greater teacher. So So it was very interesting. Or like Manjushri, whose energy is like, has to do with kind of a sense of like really liking the right answer, or clarity of ideas, or like, you know, if I could just get everybody to see clearly, everything would be all right. But the problem is that clarity means that you clearly see the emptiness of all existence. Can't I just have real answers? Why do I have to look for emptiness? If I had the right name for all of the illnesses, then surely that will solve them all, doesn't it? Like you go to a teacher and they tell you that you have something like, you know, irritable bowel, and then they turn away. Or they actually give you the medication, diagnosis you have some kind of cancer, and give you the medication, and they actually give you enough chemotherapy so that you actually your tumor disappears, but unfortunately you die 3 years later because you had, you know, some kind of total difficulty with your intestines because of, you know, chemotherapy or something. Do you understand what I'm saying? So like you get to the point where you see the emptiness of clinging to death and birth. Because what you're trying to hold yourself safe from is not the same as going beyond holding yourself safe. Sitting and doing the dishes, right? Standing and doing the dishes in a state that has nothing to do with past or future. Where every time you're relating this, whether this is in terms of past or future, or that is in terms of past or future, it's not liberation. Because when you're no longer caught in past or future, you're not only in the present moment contains all possibilities as well as all spaciousness. So it has nothing to do with you being alive or dead. It has nothing to do with safety or has anything like that. Form, feeling, perception, mental formation, consciousness. Form is not separate from nothing in particular, and nothing in particular is not separate from form. Because it's just dancing energy. What I call death is when all the beings that live inside my body say, oh, finally, now we can finish doing, you know, all of the upkeep of the intestine, now we finally get our retirement benefits. Well, so from a Manjushri point of view, it's only really discriminating wisdom when it means that you're not caught in judgment. You're free to discriminate not only from one view, but from all views. You see, no matter what view anybody has, there is reason for it. Is that true? When you can see that there's reason for how anybody or anything arises. How bees love honey, or how plants invoke the desire from bees to propagate them, or... And then essentially the basis of that is like and dislike. So manifestation is not separate from emptiness, and emptiness is not separate from manifestation. So like that. Is that more interesting as a way of looking at it? So is that an adequate sufficiency? Any more questions? Fire basically has to do with one of the ways is like a desire to be admired and loved, and You know how sometimes when one kid is about 2 years old and they have their closest sibling born, and at one moment they're like the only child and the center of all things, and then they're not. And this kind of desire to continue being, and being slightly inappropriate about when they want attention. I don't want you to talk to her. I want you to talk. Or, you know, all kids at one point, they don't want their father to come around, they just want their mother. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Or they don't want their mother to come around, they just want their father. Mm-hmm. There's like fire energy. I want this to love me. Does that make sense? And the sense of being caught in not having that. So it's the sense of being dumped somehow, abandoned. Or the sense of having the right, like your right, your desire is greater than anybody else's. In the Tibetan imagery of that, it shows this kind of character who is drunk and dancing and having a wonderful time and vomiting over, you know, everybody else's dining room table, but oh, it doesn't really matter, I'm having such a good time. So inappropriate desire. Not unable to see what I want, everybody wants. I'll get it later when I won't have to fight for it. I'm going to enjoy that game. Right? Or this feeling, oh, how could they not like me? Oh my God, I mean, it's sometimes called praise and blame. That's basically desire to be praised and the fear of being dumped. Is that okay?
So then all four elements,
the eight worldly garments,
push, pull,
well, basically the eight worldly garments, which is gain and loss, earth, loving kindness. Either wanting to get something or wanting to be angry because you didn't get it. Like or dislike of the desire of each of the elements. And then taking that as personal. So long as you have a body, the container is made of the four elements interacting with the contained. You have the four worldly ideals or the eight worldly dharmas dancing. And to realize that they're not personal, they're not you, and you want to learn how to use them not only for yourself but for the benefit of all beings. So then they become the four dharma states. Hmm? 16 what? Yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. Yeah. Also, another way you could talk about it is 16 stages of emptiness, or, you know, like that. Let's stop there, shall we?
Can I just ask you a question first, though, that, again, I'm not sure that I'm saying the right, but the picture of the person, that person with the forearm, what did you call
him? His name is Chenrezig, and he is the bodhisattva, or the energy, the conscious energy, to develop true compassion. It's another form of the same compassionate being, only this one has 1,000 arms. It's the same principle, but with every cell of the entire universe being the knowledge of compassion. Seeing the whole of the universe as awakening. Whatever manifests is the four boundless states dancing. The dancing union of of container and contained of the four elements in the physical, not separate from the entire universe, and of the energies of the interaction of consciousness interacting with the four elements, not separate from the four divine abidings, which are also universal, or limitless, whatever you call it. So that would essentially be called the state of Buddha. All right? I appreciate all your questions. Thank you for your kindness to put up. That's a wonderful thing to share, the teaching I've received along all my beloved teachers. So, you know, there's this beautiful gold light in the face. It spreads through your body. You'll see your whole body. Light pours down your legs, up your spine, down your feet. Feels the whole room as it comes out of your pores. Space in the whole world. You and you want to pray for it, just imagine. Washed by the light. Whatever wholesomeness would be there. Okay, all our feelings together. You can share it with all beings, so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness would be there. You share it with all beings, so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, share it with all beings, so there is less suffering. So thank you for your great compassion. C'est tout.